Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Jake Crumpler.
What's up, fantasy managers? Welcome back to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. My name is Jake Crumpler, and it's the weekend, so as always, I'll be taking over for Bubba as the host of this weekend edition of the podcast. You can follow me at Jake Crumpler on Twitter and can find all of my work at CrumplerBaseball.com. Let's dive into everything baseball-related from Saturday, June 29th, starting off with the transactions, injuries, news, and notes. We were lucky enough to avoid any IL placements, so we'll head straight to the transaction, starting with outfielder Charlie Blackmon, who was activated from the 10-day IL by the Rockies. Blackmon missed the minimum time with a strained hamstring, returning to the leadoff spot as the DH yesterday. Blackmon has been incredible at home this year with a WRC plus 62% better than when he's on the road, making him an excellent streamer in Colorado. And lastly, starting pitcher Zach Gallen was activated from the 15-day IL by the Diamondbacks. Gallen missed nearly all of June with a hamstring injury, but returned to the big league mound against the A's on Saturday, tossing six scoreless innings and looking like his usual dominant self. Gallen is a top 20 pitcher when healthy, so expect him to dominate moving forward. In terms of news, relief pitcher Liam Hendricks threw a 20-pitch bullpen session on Friday. Hendricks only threw fastballs, but it's a positive step in his recovery from Tommy John surgery. He's scheduled to throw three bullpen sessions next week, after which he'll likely be evaluated before heading out on a rehab assignment. A return in late July is not out of the question for Hendricks. Outfielder Juan Soto was scratched from Saturday's lineup with a right hand contusion. He suffered the injury while sliding into home on Friday, and Soto underwent x-rays that came back negative, but the Yankees are still determining if he needs to miss additional time. Starting pitcher Gavin Williams is expected to be activated from the IL today. The right-hander has allowed no more than one run in each of his last three rehab appearances, though he'll have to continue building up his workload in the majors as he's completed the fifth inning just once in six rehab appearances. When Williams takes the mound, it will be his season debut as he's missed the first 3 months of the season with right elbow inflammation stemming from an injury that started in spring training. Williams should be rostered universally when activated after he pitched to a 3.29 ERA in 16 starts in his debut campaign last year. Closing pitcher Jordan Romano has been shut down from his rehab program after experiencing elbow discomfort while throwing on Friday. Romano will visit professionals to determine his next steps, but this is a huge delay in his recovery, meaning we likely won't see Romano until August. Meanwhile, Chad Green maintains the closer role as Yimi Garcia continues to make good progress in his return from his own elbow injury. And lastly, second baseman Connor Norby is currently on the Orioles taxi squad just in case. That doesn't necessarily mean he'll be joining the big league club, but it does bring him that much closer to making his return to the majors. The 24-year-old Norby is the number 6 Baltimore prospect and can play both the keystone position and the corner outfield. Norby has batted .286 with 11 homers and 9 steals at AAA, but that has come with far too many punchouts, and Norby may have a hard time finding consistent at-bats when in the majors. And a quick reminder to bid your hearts out today on James Wood, MLB's number 3 prospect, who's expected to be promoted for his big league debut on Monday. And now we'll check out the notable performances from Saturday, a day in which we had a full slate of 15 games. We'll start it off with our hitters, leading off with Jake Meyers, who helped the Astros to a win in Queens, going 2-for-3 with 4 runs, a home run, an RBI, and a walk for good measure. He's up to 8 home runs on the year now, and this one traveled 348 feet at 98.8 miles per hour. Meyers has displayed plenty of potential in the past, but has always been held back by injuries and too many strikeouts. Well, he's rectified that this year by not only avoiding the IL, but also by cutting his strikeout rate to a career low 23.2%. Meyers has paired that with decent Statcast metrics and production in the speed department with 7 steals, making him a solid play in 15-team 5 outfielder leagues. As long as he avoids the IL, Meyers should end the season with 15 homers and steals apiece while batting .260, and that's worthwhile 3-category production. Manny Machado helped the Padres to a win in Boston, going 2-for-5 with 2 runs, 2 home runs, and 5 runs batted in. He's up to 10 home runs on the year now. The first one traveled 403 feet at 106.6 miles per hour, and the second one went 421 feet at 104.8 miles per hour. It's been a while since I had Machado on a fantasy team, so I haven't been as tuned into his play as I have been with others. Last year felt like a down year despite Machado reaching 30 homers. His 114 WRC plus was his lowest since his first year in San Diego and hinted at the third baseman entering a decline phase in his 30s. Machado hasn't warded off concerns with an even worse season this year. He's striking out at the highest rate of his career, his walk rate is his lowest since 2017, and his barrel rate is the lowest it's been since his debut season as a result of an increasing ground ball rate. All of that has led to Machado besting, or I guess worsting, his WRC plus from last year, and at 103, it's his worst mark since 2017. I think we just have to accept that this is the new Machado and that he'll be a shell of himself in his 30s. And lastly, we have Michael Busch as he helped the Cubs to a win in Milwaukee, going 2-for-4 with a run, a home run, 2 runs batted in, and a walk for good measure. He's up to 10 home runs on the year now, and this one traveled 413 feet at 102.9 miles per hour. Busch started the year hot thanks to a stretch in mid-April of 5 consecutive games in which he homered. Busch was batting 327 with 6 long balls and a 212 WRC plus after that 5th game, but he would experienced a power outage from there, homering only 2 times through the end of May as he batted just 202 with a 78 WRC plus and a sky-high 38% strikeout rate during that time. Busch has made an adjustment in June though, batting 310 with a pair of homers and a 153 WRC plus, but it doesn't feel sustainable at all, as the strikeouts have only dropped to 31% and his BABIP is at an insane 465. I don't think Busch is anything more than a streamer or a power option in deep leagues. He just strikes out too much to maintain a passable batting average, and the swing and miss also prevents Busch from getting to his power. But if you'd like a breakdown of notable hitting performances from Saturday, check out the Daily Batters Box article over on pitcherlist.com. Now we'll head to the mound and check out the notable starting pitching performances, opening with Carson Spears as he helped the Reds to a win in St. Louis, tossing 6 innings, allowing just 3 hits and 1 run while walking 1 and striking out 4. He induced 8 whiffs with 27% CSW across 90 pitches, and Spears sort of went BSB in this one with 4-seamers and cutters generally up and changeups and sweepers generally down. The heaters had more success in the whiff department, combining for 4, while the secondaries led the way with 29% CSW. Spears is not someone I'd go chasing. He's more of a command arm, meaning he's looking to get outs in the field, which leads to low strikeout rates. None of his pitches are particularly special according to PLV, and he seems to sneak by with a kitchen sink approach and decent precision in both hemispheres of the zone. Spears gets the Tigers next, and that's not a bad stream, though keep in mind it comes in Cincinnati. Next we have Reese Olson, as he did all he could, but the Tigers lost in Anaheim. He took a no decision, tossing 6 innings, allowing 5 hits and 2 runs while walking 3 and striking out 9. He induced 5 whiffs with 27% CSW across 98 pitches, and I had this start circled and forgot to stream it in my home league, and boy am I kicking myself over it even more now that I've seen the results. All Olson needs is 1 secondary to pair with his mediocre heater, and on Saturday that was his slider. That pitch dominated for 10 whiffs and 39% CSW, while the changeup chipped in a little with 3 whiffs of its own. Olson isn't my favorite option with his ceiling limited by his obviously flawed fastball, but the slider and changeup induce so many whiffs that Olson will be a producer in 3 categories, especially against weak offenses. Olson will get the Reds in Cincinnati next, and I'd be cautious starting him there, especially with the rare prospect of a win, though I'd probably go for it. And lastly, we have Chris Bassitt as he helped the Blue Jays to a win versus the Yankees, tossing 6 scoreless innings, allowing just 6 hits and 2 walks while striking out 8. He induced 10 whiffs with 29% CSW across 94 pitches. Bassitt did his usual thing with the kitchen sink approach here, throwing 8 different pitches according to Savant. The sinker and cutter did most of the work though, allowing him to survive and even succeed against the mighty Bronx Bombers. The sinker stole plenty of strikes as it earned 39% CSW, while the cutter was his whiff pitch, inducing 5 swings and misses. We sort of know what Bassitt is at this point, and it's one of the most dependable Tobys in baseball. He'll never truly stand out on your fantasy squad, but a stable production every week will be the glue that holds your pitching staff together. Bassitt gets the Astros next, and while they're a tough offense, he did just take down the Yankees. But if you'd like a breakdown of every single start from Saturday, give the Plus Pitch podcast a listen and check out Nick's daily SP roundup over on pitcherlist.com. Now we'll head to the bullpen and check out the relievers that got saves and the closers that pitched outside of save situations or blew their saves. Starting with the former, Paul Sewald recorded his 11th save with a perfect 9th. That makes it 16 consecutive scoreless outings for Sewald. Josh Hader secured his 12th save with a perfect 9th. Hader has recorded multiple strikeouts in each of his last 4 appearances. Tanner Scott locked down his 12th save with a perfect 9th. Scott is working on an 8-inning scoreless streak. Hector Neris notched his 11th save with a scoreless 9th. Neris probably should have lost his role a while ago, but there's no one in Chicago to take it. And lastly, Craig Kimbrell is up to 19 saves after pitching a perfect 9th yesterday. Kimbrell owns a 0.53 ERA across his last 17 innings pitched. and now we'll check out the closers to pitch outside of save situations or below their saves, starting with Camilo Doval, who pitched a scoreless ninth with the game tied. The Giants would go on to lose in extras. Evan Phillips pitched a hitless ninth opposite Doval to send the game to extra innings. Clay Holmes pitched the eighth with the Yankees trailing by seven. Holmes hadn't pitched since last Sunday and surrendered a run in his return to the mound. Jose Alvarado pitched a perfect eighth with the Phillies down by one. Kyle Finnegan pitched a hitless ninth with the Nationals leading by seven. Finnegan also hadn't pitched since last Sunday, so it was merely a maintenance outing. Raisel Iglesias pitched a scoreless ninth during a tie game. The Braves would go on to win in extras. Carlos Estevez pitched a scoreless ninth in a game that went to extras. And lastly, Jason Foley wound up with the loss in that one when the Tigers attempted to stretch him into the 10th after a zero in the ninth. But if you'd like a breakdown of notable relief pitching performances from Saturday, check out the Daily Reliever Ranks article over on pitcherlist.com. And before we look forward to today's games, we're going to take a quick break. Now I look forward to Sunday, June 30th, a day in which we'll have a full slate of 15 games. My matchup of the day is Gerrit Cole versus Kevin Gausman. We've got two former aces taking the mound opposite each other as they look to recover their old form, and I've yet to watch Cole pitch this year, so this matchup is a priority for me. In terms of probable starters, we've got five guys in our auto starts tier, including Garrett Crochet versus the Rockies, Joe Ryan in Seattle, and Ranger Suarez versus the Marlins. Our probably starts tier has nine guys, and that's where we'll find our streamer of the day in Spencer Schwellenbach versus the Pirates. Schwellenbach has a great repertoire and a decent shot at a win pitching for the Braves, and the Pirates don't inspire enough fear to steer us away from a stream today. I'd also keep an eye out for Casey Mize in Anaheim. The win chance and the floor are both low. However, Mize showcased increased velocity when he struck out 10 Phillies last time out. And even if Mize is due for some regression following that start, the step down from the Phillies lineup to the Angels should offset that, making Mize a low floor, high ceiling option today. In terms of hitter suggestions, I'd go for Rays hitters versus Patrick Corbin and his 5.46 ERA. Corbin has been the worst pitcher in baseball for quite some time, so anytime you have a chance to stream against him, you do it. Look for right-handed hitting Rays hitters today. And now we'll close things out with our relievers to watch. Craig Kimbrel has pitched on consecutive days and in three of the past four, but so has Yennier Cano. So Dylan Tate looks to be the least overused pitcher and could look to vulture his second save of the season today. Carlos Estevez has pitched on back-to-back days, so look for Luis Garcia or Matt Moore to get the ninth depending on matchups. Reed Garrett has pitched in each of the past two games, but so has Jake Diekman, so Adam Ottavino should be the closer today. And lastly, Camilo Doval has pitched on consecutive days and in four of the past five, so Tyler Rogers should get the ninth if a save arises today. But that'll do it for today's episode of the First Pitch Podcast. Make sure to head on over to pitcherlist.com to check out all of the great articles and features we have on the site. Join PL Pro to gain access to the Discord to interact with Pitcherlist staff and members of the community, as well as to utilize the in-season tools to help you win your leagues. That'll wrap up this edition of the podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Jake Crumpler. Tune in tomorrow and every day for a new installment of the podcast. Bubba will be back with you on Monday and throughout the week. And make sure to enjoy the day as we are blessed with another day of baseball.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.